from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Friday, everybody. That's a good thing, and it is going to be an insanely busy news day. Of course, President Trump in Alaska for the peace talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Hope you're doing well, wherever you might be. And on top of that, you've got thousands of people here in Memphis for Elvis Week, which is a big – traffic's going to be heavy. You know, folks, this may just be me, but I don't want to ever spend money on therapy, which is why I host a nationally syndicated talk radio program. I work out my issues with – with you, the fine people, the great American patriots of America. But I'm just curious. You know, I hit 57, and I've noticed that things hurt that never should hurt. And I don't know if that's part of the getting older process, but I was lifting something that I thought was super heavy. And so you know how it is. You want to get a good grip, and then you jerk it up. And it turned out to be about 75 pounds lighter than what I thought it was. And I threw my arm out. How do you throw your shoulder out? How is that possible?
It's bad form, it seems like. You got to work on the legs.
Is that it?
They like tell you to squat and then pick up from the legs so you're not using your back or your arms too
much. I'm not
a
big squatter.
Well,
I don't squat. It's a
bad
look.
You're going to pull some things.
Is that really true? So if I don't, you're telling me I should have positioned myself.
Yes.
And then lifted the object.
It seems to be, yeah. I'm no expert.
Man, I think I could use some Tylenol or something in the commercial break. Maybe get the extra strength version.
I'm on it.
But maybe it's just me. You wake up and just the mere fact of waking up, and if you get out of bed wrong, you're going to throw out your back or you're going to, you know, boy, I really don't need to start the show by complaining. It sounds like I'm falling apart. I never forget when I got my brand new heart valve, my aortic heart valve back in 2005. You know, my cardiologist, he said, look, here's the deal. Here's what you need to know. You now have the heart of like a 25-year-old. The problem is you've got the body of an older person, so it's going to run great. But every now and again, the bumpers may fall off. So that may be what's happening here. Anyway, good to have you with us. And maybe some, no, not Ben Gay. That stuff smells. You can smell that. It's like an Abercrombie and Fitch store for old people. Yeah, I don't want the Ben Gay. Good thought, though, Dylan. We've got a great show lined up for you. By the way, Glenn Jacobs, who is the mayor of Knox County, which is over in Eastern Tennessee, former WWE wrestling champion. He's going to be calling into the show. He's been getting a lot of national attention lately, so looking forward to talking with him. Also, today is Open Line Friday, and I love this day because you guys get to call in whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to ask me. You can do that, unless you're Jasmine Crockett, and then you can axe me. Whatever you want, you can do that today. Write down our telephone number. You will need this, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Speaking of Jasmine Crockett, we have some Jasmine Crockett news for you. Come on. Come on now. Woo! Chuckin' and jiving. So Jasmine Crockett is at it again. And before I begin this, I think I may have to issue a correction. And this happens about once every other year where I get something wrong. It's very rare that I ever make a mistake on this program. And the reason why is because we come to this show 3 hours of excellence in broadcasting prepared to talk about the issues of the day. But I may have made a mistake with Jasmine Crockett. Dylan, I want you to mark this on the tape so we can go back and, you know, if Media Matters or all the any of those crowd, are they still in business? I think they went out of business after they lost their NGO. But anyway, if anybody says Starnes never retracts anything, I'm doing it right now. Since Jasmine Crockett and her shucking and jiving self came upon the national scene, I have called her a faux ghetto person. And by the term faux ghetto, I meant that she was faking it because she was educated in some of the nation's most prominent undergrad schools, secondary schools. She is a very well-educated, well-spoken woman. I mean, that's what I told you. People would call in and they would say derogatory things about Jasmine. And I would say, no. Jasmine Crockett, while she may shuck and while she may jive, she is an educated shucker and jiver. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I was wrong. And I think, in fact, this woman is actually a full-blown member of the ghetto. I don't think there's there's no faux ghetto about Jasmine Crockett. No. Don't get me wrong. I still think she's educated. But here's the deal. When she entered Rhodes College, which is one of the wealthiest schools in America, when she entered Rhodes, she was educated in a very tony, if you will, exclusive day school in the St. Louis area. And she was very well-spoken. But when she came out of Rhodes, all of a sudden, the very well-spoken Jasmine Crockett started speaking like she was in a Tyler Perry movie. I don't know what they were doing at Rhodes College where that transformation happened, but it did. So from now on, instead of, and if you read any of my work, I always refer to our lawmakers right after the name. So we'll do, we'll say Marsha Blackburn, and in parentheses, we'll say Republican-Tennessee. From now on, whenever we're writing about Jasmine Crockett, we shall write the following. Jasmine Crockett, parentheses, Democrat-ghetto. Now, here's Jasmine Crockett, and I say this because of what she said last night, and I think this is the straw that broke Whitey's back. Cut number one, please.
I talk to black folk all the time as somebody that's a child of a preacher. Listen, most black people are not Republicans simply because we just is like, y'all racist. I can't hang out with the KKK and them. That's really what it is. But when we think about who we are as black people and we think about where we come from, most black people have very conservative values, right? But the reality is that, like, we just can't side with, like, the neo-Nazis and them. We're not dealing with y'all like that, right?
All right, so we just is like... You racist. We just is like you racist. That's Jasmine Crockett, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. So now Jasmine says all you Republican, not just some of you Republican. No. All you Republicans, all of you, you all is just racist. You folks is just KKK. You folks is just burning crosses and running around in white bed sheets. Well, Jasmine, are you saying that even the gay members of the Republican Party are racist? You folks even more racist, you gay Republicans running around in your flower print sheets. That's Jasmine Crockett. Wow, that's homophobic, isn't it? Jasmine, geez, hello. So Jasmine Crockett is out there saying she was at this big gathering of Democrats, and the Democrats are freaking out right now because their party is literally disintegrating, and the only thing that they have is the racist stuff. And I just want to say something about Republicans. And if I'm wrong, I want someone to call me up and correct me. And if I'm right, I want you to call me up and worship me. But hear me on this. Hear me on this. Black people of America, Jasmine Crockett, hear me. We're not racist. We're just exhausted. We're just flat out exhausted. It's insane. what's happening right now in our nation. And there are good and decent black folks all over the city. In Washington, D.C., by the way, where they're coming out of the woodwork saying, you know what? God bless Donald Trump. He's the only guy that's actually cared about us, who's actually doing something about all of the crime. There's a black lady who's gone viral on X or TikTok or one of those platforms. And she said, you know, this is the first time in weeks when I've been able to, like, walk down the sidewalk in my neighborhood without hearing 30, 40, 50 gunshots. But people are exhausted. They want to be able to go on a Carnival cruise without having some sort of a riot. They want to be able to get on board a Spirit Airlines without there being fist fights. They want to be able to go out to the neighborhood parks without there being some sort of a street gang warfare thing going on. People are just getting exhausted. They're getting exhausted with all of the rhetoric spewing from the vile, racist mouths of people like Jasmine Crockett. That's what people are sick and tired of. And now, and what I find fascinating, and this is going to get really interesting, now white people are not even, they're done. They're just done. And here's what happened at this gathering of Democrats last night. Cut five.
We got to keep connecting. I assure you that if we start to connect with one another, it is so much harder to hate each other.
Wait. Why are you racist towards white people? Why are you racist towards white people?
She needs to get.
I don't need to be touched. I'm not resisting. I will wait.
Wow. So then there was somebody else. Was it from The Blaze? Sarah Hernandez. And she actually, I can't repeat what she said to the crowd. But people are done. They're just done. They're like, you know what? We don't care what you call us anymore, but we're not going to stand here and we're not going to take this nonsense. Now, I want to share some facts. I want to drop some knowledge on Sister Crockett from the Hood, if we can. Here's the reality of what this ill-informed woman just said, that all Republicans are racist, that all Republicans are members of the KKK, that all Republicans are what, neo-Nazis. That's simply not true. Now, I will say this, that, and I can only speak from my vantage point where I was born and raised, and I can tell you that in the 1920s, the Republican Party here was controlled predominantly by black people, very wealthy black businessmen. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the 1920s, I know the history books will tell you that the black man has been oppressed and enchained since somewhere around 2005. But the reality is, in the 1920s, there was an incredibly wealthy, strong middle class of blacks across America, and especially in the southern states. Wait, what? Yes, it's not in the history books. No, it's not, because they don't want that in the history books, because that defeats the entire narrative of what's happened in this country. You see, in the 1920s, you had the first black millionaires begin to rise up. You had the strong upper middle class. You had black men and black women getting together, married. They had children together. They raised those children together. There were families, family units that were intact. It was an amazing thing. And you know what else was going on? The black Republicans and the Republican Party at the time nationwide, they were going out and they were registering black people to vote. At the same time, the Democrats launched the KKK, and while the Democrats were out there burning crosses in the front yards and terrorizing black people across the southern states, the Republican Party, you idiot Jasmine Crockett, was actually registering black people to vote. So if you don't mind, Jasmine Crockett, just put the shut to the up, lady, because we're done with it. We're tired of your crap. We're tired of your racism. Sick and tired of it. It's over. Goodbye to you, ma'am. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Jasmine Crockett. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right. No, I got to text Stearns, watch your blood pressure. No. I'm good. I just had to get that message out there. Because what's really sad is that there are people who actually buy into the hate that Jasmine Crockett is spewing. And shame on the Democrat Party as well. To get out there and to call all Republicans racist is just grossly offensive. Especially for what the Republicans have done in this country to advance the cause of minorities. Unbelievable. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Sonny is listening to us in beautiful Ocala, Florida on WOCA. Hi, Sonny. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. What's on my mind is the fact that Putin and Trump are having a meeting at an Air Force base. They couldn't go to the commercial airport in Alaska? Give me a break. You know he's going to have maybe two planes riding in safety or whatever you want to call it. And then on those planes, there's going to be 100 technicians. They're going to be monitoring ground frequencies. They're going to be looking at carrier frequencies and other frequencies. Oh, the stuff is turned off if it's on. If it's not being operated, there's still what they call carrier frequencies that can be picked up. I mean, it just boggles my mind that they're letting him in on an Air Force base. You know those planes got a loaded full of technicians there to watch and look at everything that's there at the base. And even if the plane, you more likely have aircraft there, fighter craft, every other thing there, being maintenance, having maintenance done to it. When they do maintenance, they check everything out, the electronics and so on and so forth. It just boggles my mind that they're having this meeting in an Air Force base. And to me, that's a disgrace.
So you're concerned here, Sonny, that the Russians may try to spy on President Trump, maybe spy on our Air Force base there?
Of course. Putin and Trump will be talking, but the plane will probably load it with a bunch of Russian spies and technicians there to monitor whatever, like I said, the ground frequencies. The ground frequencies are basically for planes taxiing and doing whatever, getting themselves lined up, synchronizing their electronic navigation stuff.
Sonny, I want to try to put your mind at ease, and we're going to have to go to a break here, my friend, so we're going to have to leave it there. But I suspect that Pete Hegseth has taken extreme caution to make sure none of that happens. And I hear you. Why couldn't they land at the commercial airport? That's the Ted Stevens International Airport. And I guess they could have, but the dining option's not all that great, unless Vladimir Putin wants a Cinnabon or, one of Auntie Anne's pretzels. So I think everything's going to be okay. I really do. Hey, hang tight, folks. We'll be right back. All right. Football season is just a few weeks away. High school football jamborees underway. Dylan, I noticed that your cousin is like the poster child of the high school football team that he's on.
He really is.
Gotta love Christian. Is it Christian Brothers?
Christian Brothers High School. That's mm-hmm. it.
Star athlete. He's right there on the. I think he's adopted.
He's very tall.
Very tall.
Very athletic.
He's got the six pack, the whole nine yards. Yeah. He's ready.
He's definitely going to play college ball.
Definitely.
We can already see it. He's a senior in high school. Like he's got the look. He's got the talent. So
we're all very excited about this.
Yes.
We're going to be living our athletic dreams through Little Starts.
Absolutely.
Who is now Big Starts.
He's Big Starts. So he's bigger than me.
Wow. He's that tall.
Yeah.
Wow. What, 6'1"?
6'2"? He's probably 6'2", almost 6'3".
Wow.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. Mm-hmm. All right. This is going to be exciting. So anyway, a lot of football. I'm just curious, folks, do you see the cheerleaders? You know, the cheerleaders are there on the sideline, and they're doing their dancing, and they've got the pom-poms. And really, I think it really wasn't until the onset of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders that was like a big deal. You know, the cheerleaders were there, but nobody really thought much about it. Maybe, I don't know. But then along come the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, and every kid of a certain age back in the 70s and 80s had massive Dallas Cowboy cheerleader posters in their rooms, and it was sort of like the thing at the time. And all the girls wanted to be like the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, so it was quite the thing at the time. So now, this season, there is a lot of controversy over this, these male cheerleaders. And I think what we've got to do is step back here. And I know Out Sports has been on this. That is the LGBT sports website. And they're saying there's nothing wrong with male cheerleaders. And there's nothing wrong with male cheerleaders. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about the big muscular guys that are, you know, there in pants and they're not sashaying and they're not wiggling their hips and they're not flinging around their hair. Their job is to throw the young ladies up into the air and to catch them when they come back down to earth. Or if they're building some sort of a aerial pyramid, their job is to stand there and be the base. You've got a spotter, so if one of the girls falls, you catch the girl. These guys are sort of like Queer Eye for the straight guy cast members. And so a lot of NFL teams are now employing male, and they're calling them male cheerleaders, but they're dressing like the ladies, they're dressing like the girls, and they're acting like the girls. I mean, you probably have seen the videos. I'm just wondering, does that bother you? I mean, if you're going to a game, because people at the Minnesota Vikings, they've hired two male cheerleaders. And it's been the first time since the 1990s that the Minnesota Vikings have had male cheerleaders. And people have said, I don't know if this, I can't verify this, but people are saying that, well, you know what? We're canceling our season tickets. We're not going to any games because we don't want to be seated there and have a man gyrating in our face. Okay, would you want a woman gyrating in your face? And I guess the answer is yes, according to these fans. But they're doing all the provocative, sexy dance moves that cheerleaders, female cheerleaders would do. So I don't think they're calling them male cheerleaders, but it's how they're behaving, I think, that's setting people off. I'm just trying to explain this. I'm not casting judgment on anybody, but this is a huge controversy. So now, apparently, the Carolina Panthers, you guys have and this fella is a big old fella. And he's a dude, but he says he's a woman. And he's out there. I mean, he's a big one. He kind of looks like, what was the guy? And I'll tell you exactly who he reminds me of because he's bald. The guy's got no hair. He's bald. He reminds me of the guy in the Green Mile. The black dude in the Green Mile, and I can't remember that guy's name, but that's who it reminds me of. Anyway, so you guys at the Carolina Panthers, so you've got that guy. The New Orleans Saints have 11 male cheerleaders. So you folks down there in the Big Easy, you've got a lot of dudes out there. So anyway, according to OutSports.com, the male cheerleaders hubbub of the 2025 NFL season continues. The 2025 Saints cheer crew boasts 47 or 48 performers, of which 12, I said 11, they said 12, a quarter of them are men. And here are the names of the male cheerleaders. They provide these for us, Dylan, so I will just read them. Do we have YMCA? Can we get the YMCA song up, Dylan? When you get the YMCA song up, let me know, and then we'll go through the list of the names here. But you also have the only team that doesn't have male cheerleaders, ladies and gentlemen, the Dallas Cowboys. How about that? So the Dallas Cowboys, still all female. So you've got men playing ball on the field, and then you've got the ladies as the cheerleaders. All right, so here we go. This is your 2025 NFL season roster for the New Orleans Saints male cheerleaders. Let's go, Carlton, Corey, Devontae, Giovanni with a G, Justice, Kareem, Lamar, Matthew, shake those pom-poms, Matthew, Nathaniel, Tyler, Wayne, and Xavier. That's your male lineup for the New Orleans Saints cheerleaders. Shake those pom-poms, boys. Now, I know that a lot of people have problems with this, Dylan, but I'm trying to be open-minded about all of this because I really don't care. But I am trying to be open-minded about this, and I just think about this, all right? So let's say, unfortunately, you've got, players are going down all the time with injuries. It's a rough and tumble sport out there on the gridiron. So let's just say, God forbid, one of the players goes down. You can't tell me there's not at least one tight end in that cheerleading bunch. Put me in, coach.
Sub them in.
Put me in, coach. Put me in.
Lord.
So anyway, there you go. That's, a lot of people are upset about this because you're accusing the NFL of trying to advance some sort of an agenda here. And they're trying to shove this in everybody's faces. So I don't know. That tight end thing may have been over the line.
I wouldn't care if this came with more TV time for the cheerleaders, because mm-hmm. I think watching it on the TV, you don't really see the cheerleaders that much. If this comes with more TV time, I can definitely see that agenda being pushed.
Do you know, though, if you're looking at cheerleaders, it's the SEC, the Southeastern Conference. Every time there's not something happening on the field, those camera guys, they're zoomed in on the cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah. They shoot to break, and they know exactly where they're going.
God has blessed the Southeastern Conference with just very, very attractive, cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Elizabeth in Lexington, Kentucky, WVLK, the station. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Love Fridays.
Absolutely. So what's on your mind, Elizabeth?
Well, I'm nitpicking. I have some knowledge about the secrecy of the grand jury and why the DOJ wants to protect that particular process, right? Having been part of a grand jury, and what was interesting in Lexington, long story short, a lifelong childhood friend that I've known for 50 years, there was a case involving her. And I'm not saying that I was placed on the grand jury at all, but maybe what they're worried about, the Department of Justice and those people that are higher up, is that, someone might have been on the grand jury that was familiar with Epstein and the people that might have put that, facilitated that, if they were able to do that, I don't know. But my concern is that here, if the United States of America is the number one country for trafficking and raping children, and we've got all these law enforcement agencies, the math just doesn't seem to be adding up. And I think that once we've crossed that line, then in regards to like Jasmine Crockett, then we can go ahead and have slaves again. And I'm wondering if, you know, but now, you know, it doesn't have to do anything with color. We can just go ahead. We're past having any kind of civility. So, and, you know, I don't know. And if anybody that listens to your radio station, I'm sure you have lots of politicians and lots of law enforcement that listen to them. I actually, after that grand jury incident, I seemingly probably misunderstood some death threats. And I went to the FBI physically in Washington, D.C. So I'm sure that Kentucky and D.C. know all about those types of systems and how they work. So I would love to find an attorney that would represent me. But anyway, that's my beef for today, Todd.
Yeah, no, look, Elizabeth, when you look at people like the Jasmine Crocketts and, you know, on the Epstein list, I have been a strong proponent of releasing all the information that's out there, and let's let the chips fall where they may. We know, and you and I both know, that there are bad guys in both political parties, and we need to know who those people are, and they need to pay the price for their crimes. As far as Jasmine Crockett, what really bothers me about this, Elizabeth, is that she's lying, and nobody calls her out on her lies. And you know, we're happy to do that, you know, here on this program.
It seems like there's lots of liars, Todd.
Oh, well, no doubt about that, Elizabeth. No doubt at all.
Right.
All
you
right.
Have a great Friday.
Hey, Elizabeth, you too. And you're listening to us on WVLK.
Lexington.
Well, we are
I'm sure they know who I am.
Wonderful. No. Well, we're excited. We're excited that you're our first caller from Lexington, so we're excited to have you on board with us. Elizabeth, hang tight. I want to send you a copy of my new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Just a way of saying welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. Hang tight, Elizabeth. We will get your info right now. Let's go to McDonald, Tennessee. Joe is on the line. Hi, Joe. What's going on today?
I was wanting to ask. I've been listening to the broadcast about Jasmine Crockett, who is a certifiable idiot. I understand that. But I understood that she has lost her seat in the Congress, and I'm not hearing a whole lot about that. Is that true or not?
No. She hasn't. No, she still has her seat. But if Texas ever gets around to actually redrawing the districts, she will be drawn out of her district. And so at that point, yes, she would lose her seat.
Are you expecting that to happen?
Joe, it depends on whether or not the Texans, the Republicans in Texas, actually deliver on this redistricting plan. And right now, if I was a betting man, I wouldn't be throwing any money down.
Okay, I sure like to see her get thrown out. She needs to be deported for what she needs. I've never heard anybody that was as stupid as she is, other than AOC.
Well, or Ilhan Omar. Yeah, Jasmine is a born and raised multi-generational American, so she gets to stay. Ilhan Omar and others, well, that remains to be seen. So we'll see how all that plays out. Hey, Joe, I got to run, my friend, but thank you for the call. And, yeah, you and I will celebrate when that district is redrawn. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic. Man also told police others in the room laughed, understanding his joke, which I'm just now getting. Home Depot says they will not be pressing charges. But I can tell you right now, you asked the producer for me to read that, didn't you? To Ethan now, please.
No.
That's terrible. I'm telling you, Dylan, I can't. This is what I'm always afraid of happening on Newsmax, is that the staff pulls a practical joke like this.
Yeah, I'm still laughing. I had not heard that audio before I played it, so that's good.
That's very clever, actually. But I can look. I can understand why people were terrified, but at least the guy was being considerate. I want to know, how did the police officers react when they showed up at the scene?
That might be worse.
Forget guns. You need Febreze and a fan, a large fan.
Body suit.
Industrial strength and a hazmat suit. Oh, geez, Alou. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. I have no idea why we played that audio. But anyway, coming up, we're going to be talking to our good friend Glenn Jacobs. He is the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, way over in East Tennessee. You remember him as a WWE guy back in the day, and just a great conservative leader. So we're going to be talking with him. Also, we're going to take you live later in the show to Alaska, where President Trump is going to be meeting. Now, we had, what was that? Cassie sent me a note just a few moments ago. We had a caller, and the caller was concerned about the about why is it that Putin did not land at the commercial airport? Why did we let him on an Air Force base? Well, first of all, they're taking extreme security precautions. So everything is going to be safe. The Russians are going to try to pull something, but we're not going to, you know, we're not going to let them spy on us. But Dave called in and said that, look, the reason why they're not meeting at Ted Stevens International Airport in Anchorage is because a commercial flight would have interrupted, would have disrupted all the other air travel. You know, that makes sense. I mean, so that's fair enough. And you got to make sure, you know, you don't want to be at an airplane, Air Alaska, just circling, you know, Anchorage for hours on end waiting for Putin and Trump to ramp it up. So Dave brings up an excellent point. I will say this, though. I mean, the good news is that Putin, now with all the new TSA rules and regulations, he wouldn't have to take off his shoes. So, you know, that's, you know, still a positive. But yeah, they're doing it at the Air Force Base. And all of that will be happening live during our Newsmax show tonight. So be sure to watch 5 o'clock Eastern. Also, folks, head over to ToddStearns.com. Get yourself a copy of my latest book, Star Spangled Blessings. Our good friend Scott Bertrand over at Hillsdale College, I was their special guest on their podcast, and we had a wonderful conversation. We posted that on our Facebook page, so go check that out during the break as well. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two coming up. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, hello, everybody. This is Todd Starnes, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Welcome to you all, and welcome to all of our Lexington, Kentucky listeners, brand new to the Todd Starnes Radio Show family. Here's the deal. When we have a new station coming on board, if you call in from that station and you get on air, then we're going to hook you up with a Welcome to the Neighborhood prize package. So all you have to do is get on the air. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And I was talking to some of our folks that handle our affiliate relations, and we're adding a few more stations over the coming days, which is a great thing. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to take you live to Anchorage, Alaska, where President Trump, Vladimir Putin, will be meeting later on this afternoon. Tonight on my Newsmax show, we'll have live team coverage. We have Newsmax reporters' boots on the ground there. Well, I want to bring into the conversation a good friend, and he is a great mayor. He is the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. Our good friend, Glenn Jacobs. Mr. Mayor, happy to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me on, Todd. I appreciate it.
You know, I got to brag on you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of weeks, well, it was last weekend, I was invited to speak at the Gun Owners of America gathering there at the convention center in downtown. And man, what an incredible facility that was. And we had 5,000 or 6,000 law-abiding gun owners there in Knoxville. You guys have a great city, great county.
Well, thank you very much. That's actually the second year that the GOA Goals Conference has been in Knoxville. Last year was their first ever conference, and we were honored to host them in our fair city and fair county. So that's pretty awesome. Unfortunately, this year I couldn't go to the event. Last year I got to speak a couple times, but you know, it's just great to have all those folks here in town.
It was a little iffy, I'm going to be honest with you. I walk in and literally run into our good friend Tim Burchett, and the two of us really should not be on the same stage at the same time together. You know,
Tim's a comedy show, that's for sure.
Well, he pulls me over. I said, "How you doing?" Because, you know, he got kicked by his horse. And right. he said, "Man, I got to show you the video." He literally, somebody was filming him as he was getting kicked by his horse.
Yes, yeah, he showed me that too. It didn't look very pleasant. I told him, "Bro, you know, when I was wrestling, the key is to make it look good without getting hurt, and you don't fight horses.
No,
okay, you're gonna lose every time."
Yeah, that's just that's 101 fighting 101.
Exactly.
Well, we're really excited about the great work you're doing, and I know a couple of days ago you had the education secretary in Knoxville. And we've been such big proponents on this show of returning control of education back to the states. How did that gathering go, and what can you tell us?
It went very well. That is Secretary McMahon's vision, and that he is literally working herself out of a job. And, you know, she made it clear that what they're talking about is dismantling the bureaucracy. You know, there are a lot of folks that worry about some of the programs the federal government funds going away. Those programs actually predate the Department of Education. It's not so much the federal funding, which, you know, obviously I'm not going to be a huge fan of, because sometimes there's strings attached to that. But it's not so much the funding as it is the bureaucracy and the one-size-fits-all policies that come out of the Department of Education. The Department of Education has an annual budget of $80 billion. We often forget that they only were created in 1976. They're not that old. But if you look at test scores and just the state of education in the United States from 1976 to now, I just don't see how that huge, huge spending that has been put into the Department of Education can be justified any way whatsoever. You know, and really it belongs with the states, because every place is different. And every state, every locality should have the ability to tailor their system to the needs of that locality.
You know, and I've had a change of heart on the issue, especially with regard to teachers. And I think for many years, people like me would say, okay, you know, the issue is the teachers. In a lot of ways, it's not. You know,
the teachers are the system.
Yeah, the teachers are stuck between the administrators and the students, and they really don't have enough time to actually do their job to teach those kids.
Yes. So my degree is in English. I was going to teach and coach. I spent a little time in the classroom, not that much. But one of the things that teachers will lament is the art of teaching doesn't really exist anymore. Because exactly what you said, you know, now it's so much, and we have to hold people accountable, obviously, you know, but it's so much, oh, you know, here's the standardized test, this is exactly what you need to teach, and if the kids are falling behind in this class, we're going to pull them from your class to put them over here so they do better on the test, you know, and just that ability then to, there's an art, there's a science to it, but there's also an art to it, and that's what great teachers are able to do. So I never blame things on the teachers. It's not their fault. They care about the kids. They're trying to do the best they can, but they're somewhat handcuffed by the current system. It's the system that we need to look at, not the teachers.
In this meeting, were you guys talking about, okay, well, what happens? What would it look like, you know, once we do return control of the schools back to the states?
Actually, what Secretary McMahon was really interested in is some of the things that we're doing here in Tennessee, especially around early childhood literacy and those sort of things, and getting ideas maybe that other folks could tap into. That is also one of the reasons that I think is vitally important, because, you know, when you have competition between states, between communities, when you're able to do different things, which you can't do right now, you know, there might be a method or someone's doing something that's like, hey, that's a great idea, we should try that here. Well, you really can't do that right now because everybody's doing the same thing. You know, so it stifles innovation. It really stifles out of the box thinking. And that was more what she was concentrating on, was to talk to us about some of the things that we've been doing. Our schools here in Knox County have seen just dramatic improvement, both with third grade literacy and fourth grade math proficiency. You know, what are we doing here that other folks might be able to pick up and use on their own? And those are the sort of things, to me, that's, if you can have a federal Department of Education, that's what they should be concentrating on, you know, is not stifling innovation, but kind of being a conduit so that everybody can talk to each other and, hey, this is working here, this is a great idea, you know, maybe you guys should try that there. But, you know, not forcing these one-size-fits-all policies on the entire country.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Glenn Jacobs, the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. Mr. Mayor, I know you made some headlines recently. Exciting news here with Marsha Blackburn entering the gubernatorial race. I endorsed her just a couple of days ago, and I think that she is really going to do a terrific job leading this state. Nothing against Congressman John Rosenthal, who is a great man and has done a great job in his district, but I really have to appreciate the great work that Marsha Blackburn is doing in the state.
Yeah, you know, and it goes back to one of the most important things that we talk a lot about here in Tennessee, and that's having no state income tax. Marsha Blackburn was one of the people that fought very hard against that, and having no state income tax is a lot of the reason that our state is thriving economically now. So she gets it. She got it back then. She did a great job when she was in the Tennessee General Assembly, did a great job in Congress, and I know that she'll do a great job as governor of Tennessee.
I know Governor Bill Lee making some headlines yesterday in Murfreesboro. He said that he would consider sending the National Guard to Washington, D.C. to help with the efforts to get crime under control. I'm just curious what your thoughts are about what's happening right now in our nation's capital.
You know, it's interesting because I think what it shows you is the importance of local government.
Yeah.
We don't have that problem in Knox County. You know, obviously every area has its challenges, and we have crime here, you know, but nothing like you're going to see in Washington, D.C. or even Memphis. And the reason why is because the elected officials here, both in the city and the county, they take their responsibility seriously. You know, KPD takes the responsibility for public safety seriously. The Knox County Sheriff's Office takes that responsibility seriously. Our DA, I think she's one of the very best in the state. She prosecutes people who need to be prosecuted. You know, it's none of this, oh gosh, you know, we're just going to kick you right back out. You know, if you've committed a serious crime, you know, you're going to be held accountable here in Knox County. And to me, this just is a clear illustration of how important local government is. You know, and someone asked me, you know, would that ever happen in Knox County? I'm like, no, it ain't going to happen in Knox County because we're not going to allow those conditions to deteriorate to that extent. We're going to do something about it and already have done something about it long before, you know, you have to call in the National Guard. You know, so again, to me, that illustrates how important state and local government are.
It's so vitally important. And when you look at what's happening in places like Cincinnati, where we've seen the uptick in violence, and New York City, San Francisco, and of course Memphis, which is, you know, my hometown, and it is so heartbreaking. They were saying, well, we've had, you know, 99, you know, murders in D.C. so far. Well, we've had 171 and counting. Over the past 2 days, there have been two sweet, precious women that were carjacked and brutally beaten in the streets of Memphis. And yet you have leadership saying, Well, it's a perception problem, and crime is at a six-year low in Memphis. And we all know, I mean, somebody's clearly cooking the books somewhere.
Yeah, and that's the issue of statistics. You know, folks will point to, say, the FBI's database on violent crime. The problem with that is a comparison to how cities and states stack up. The problem with that is some cities don't even report. New York City and Los Angeles, I don't think, even report to the FBI's database. So you have this very skewed picture of what's really going on. And yeah, what did Mark Twain say about statistics? Basically, he can make him say anything you want. So when you think about Memphis, you think about a place like Washington, D.C., I don't think that's anything to brag about. You know, it's interesting that Donald Trump is always able to put Democrats in an indefensible position. So now they're literally in a position of saying, oh, you know, we like our crime in D.C., you know, because whatever Trump does, we have to oppose that, you know. And it's amazing how, once again, they're in that position of defending the indefensible.
Yeah, that's it. Mr. Mayor, we got to leave it there. I guess you're going to be getting pretty busy. We got Tennessee football coming up very soon. What, August 30th?
Yeah. Yep. Coming up. Should be a great year. You know, there's a lot of just unknowns and uncertainty because of the transfer portal and NIL stuff right now. But Josh Heupel is the real deal. He's a tremendous coach. So I'm sure it's going to be another exciting season for the Vols.
It's going to be a great one. All right. Mr. Mayor, always good having you on the show.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. Good man right there, folks. Glenn Jacobs. And isn't that amazing? It's all about leadership. It really is. And when you look at cities that are run by Republican mayors and Republican city councils across this country, you see cities that are safe, that are prosperous, they're thriving, people are having a good time. And those are the kinds of cities that we want in this country. It's not that we're like, oh, Democrats are evil. Well, they are, but still, it's their policies. And the policies are making it a very dangerous place to live. And that's why when you look at the top 10 most violent, dangerous cities in America, all of them are run by Democrats. And that is the common denominator. So what do we have to do? We've got to somehow convince the citizens, the voters in these communities, that the Republicans have a better way. They've got a better message. But broader than that, the big problem is that in a lot of these cities, hardly anybody actually goes and votes on election day. So if you would just encourage, light a fire under the Republican base in these towns and get them, if the Republicans are out voting at 70 or 80%, then they very could win some of these races in these Democrat cities. I mean, it really is that simple. Memphis, I'll give you an example. In Memphis, we have a population of about, 650,000 people. I think maybe 20,000 people voted in the mayor's race. I mean, that's it. That's the problem right there. So we've all got to do our part by getting out and voting. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. It is Open Line Friday here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. That means you can call in, talk about whatever you want to. Want to welcome all of our Lexington, Kentucky listeners. So if you call in today, we're going to hook you up with a Welcome to the Neighborhood prize package, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, let's go right to the phone lines. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in today. We're heading over to Southeast Kansas. Kent is listening to us on KGYN, the Big Talker. And Kent, you are the very first caller from KGYN, and we want you to hang on. Don't hang up at the end of the conversation. I want to make sure we give you a Welcome to the Neighborhood prize pack.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
Kent, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, it's Southwest Kansas, Todd. Southwest.
Southwest. My apologies.
That's okay. It's way out here in the middle of nowhere. Todd, I wanted to weigh in on the meeting today. First of all, I appreciate what you do, and I'll pray for you and your family. And pray for President Trump in that meeting today, that the Holy Spirit would just guide them words and guide that meeting.
Amen.
And also, I wanted to weigh in on the men cheerleaders. That's kind of silly, but I figure I treat it just kind of like kneeling for the national anthem, Todd. If they're going to go that route, I'd just find something else to watch.
Yeah, you know, so many people did. It was, remember the Colin Kaepernick days, and Kent, a lot of people left, and they never came back.
Yep, that's right.
But
I had two deals, Todd. I liked Tim Tebow. I was a big fan of Tim Tebow, so when they blackballed him, I kind of quit the NFL.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It wasn't that interesting. Tebow got in trouble, and he was mocked and ridiculed by all those reporters for taking a knee to pray, and Colin Kaepernick was celebrated for taking a knee to protest America.
Yeah, that was sad. That was sad. To me, that was a sad day for the NFL.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Kent. Everything else going well out there in southwest Kansas?
Oh, yeah, we've had a blessed year. The dry land corn and Milo looks amazing. We've had all kinds of rain this year, more than normal. Been a real blessed year out here, Todd.
I'm glad to hear that, Kent, and I sure do appreciate you phoning in. Don't hang up, because Cassie wants to get your information, and we're going to send you a copy of Star Spangled Blessings. Kent, God bless you, and God bless all of our listeners on KGYN. What a great radio station. And their signal is so big, it hits five states. So a lot of listeners out there in the southwestern part of Kansas. And by the way, if you do call in from KGYN, you get on air, we're going to give you a great gift as well. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight if you're on hold. We're going to get to your calls, I can promise. But we got to take a break. We'll be right back, America.
Todd, about these Fruit Loops on these cheerleading squads for the NFL, this is exactly just one of the reasons why I don't pay to watch it. I don't have it on my TV. I don't have Sports Channel. I don't buy anything to do with Nike. I don't deal with any of it. And they want to continue to do it, that's fine. Just like men and women's sports, these women need to start continuing to protest and don't play against them. It's that simple until they form their own sport. It's that easy.
All right. That's Mark from Florida. And he sent us a shout out. Mark's got our app and you can download the app. So if you live in an area of the country where they don't carry my show, you can download the app for free at ToddStearns.com. And if you don't have time to wait on hold, you can always leave us a shout out. And you can do that only if you download our app at ToddStearns.com. By the way, before we go to our next guest, I want to share with you some intel here. My good buddy, retired General, Brigadier General John Tykert, and he's going to be on my show tonight on Newsmax. Tykert sent me a note here about security on the base. So Tykert was actually the base commander at Joint Base Andrews as well as Edwards Air Force Base. And he said, here's how it's going to go down. The Russian delegation will be very scripted. They'll be escorted in where they go and what they do. The operations of the base will be curtailed to not allow any ability to gather intel on the normal activities of the base. And it's interesting, Tykert says that they had the same procedures in place when world leaders would come to Washington, because when they do come to Washington, they don't land at Baltimore, Dulles, or Reagan National. They actually land at Joint Base Andrews. So Tykert tells me they have the exact same types of protocols in place, and they feel pretty sure that nothing is going to be compromised or revealed. So that's good intel. All right, let's bring in our next guest. He's a nationally syndicated radio host based in Santa Clarita, California, our good Betty, Joe Messina. Joe, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing great. We might get a break in the temperature. Might be down to 88.
Oh, geez, Lou. Try coming to Memphis. It's not even, it's insane. Hey, look, Joe, I got to get some intel from you, and we're getting a little bit of feedback, guys, so maybe we can work that out. But, Joe, here's the deal. Your governor, Newsom, yesterday had a big press conference and announced that it looks like they're going to be targeting, what, 4 or 5 of the 9 Republican congressional districts there. Do you think this is a threat, or is the guy really serious?
Well, no, he doesn't care what the law says. He's really serious. He's gonna do what he can to change it. But the mode of Californians is not there. They passed a law a few years back that required that these districts be drawn by a commission. And right now he's really not allowing that to happen. He wants to put it out, quote unquote, to the people. But the Constitution in California doesn't allow him to do this. So I want to see who challenges him, who's going to put up the money to make something happen. Because I do know, again, they're not allowed to make, changes until the census is done.
Well, I mean, he's been out there saying that, you know, gerrymandering, it's not right. We've got to put a stop to this. And at the same time, he's turning around and now embracing what he is accusing the Republicans of doing as evil.
Yeah, he really needs some psychiatric care, but I don't think anybody has the guts to tell him that. Seriously, I mean, some of the things that he does in this state are amazing. And you're right. You know, he's talking about combating Texas by making some more seats. I think it works out to be about 3. Well, we're talking about a total of potentially 8 seats there in Texas. So I don't know how he must have gone to a California public school, because that math really doesn't work out. And I don't know how he's going to get out of this, Todd, because he's not going to win this fight. I don't see how he wins this fight, because even people on the left in the state of California are not for doing this kind of thing. They're really pushing back against it. I want to see how far he goes with it.
I was looking at one survey. Over 60% of Californians would actually oppose letting the state legislature step in, because the way I understand it, you guys have a special committee or commission that's set up to do all of the redistricting.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a nonpartisan commission to call out these areas, and they have specific guidelines by which they can make it happen or shouldn't make it happen. He is looking to let the legislature do it. Now, here's the key part of that. You probably already know this, is that they have a supermajority here in California. I mean, he has got them. He's got us where he wants us. But he's got a supermajority. So instead of going to the commission, if he goes to the legislature, he's going to get what he wants. But I'm praying that somebody steps up and stops this thing and sues on it immediately after it happens.
So here's what gets me. You've got roughly 5.8 million registered Republicans in the state of California.
Right.
A congressional district right around 700 and some odd thousand people, give or take a few. My issue is only 9 congressional districts. You guys only have 9.
It's because of the way they're carved out. I mean, at the end of the last election cycle, they carved out the area that I live in, the area you're familiar with, the area that I live in, more Democrats, a boatload more Democrats. So we lost a Republican seat, one that we took away from Democrats after they had total control of it for about 25 years. So, again, I go back to saying they know what they're doing, and they're carving these areas out, so they're almost positive, sure, that they're going to get a Democrat in that seat and keep people like Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi in until Jesus returns.
So you've got 52 members of congressional members from California, 43 Democrats, just 9 Republicans. So if he has his way here, Newsom, it definitely wants to get rid of, like, Kevin Kiley and other guys, I think 4 or 5 of those guys. And then the others would be very competitive districts. So if that happens, Joe, my recommendation is the supermajority Republican states, they got to play hardball, and they've got to do the exact same thing.
I totally agree with you. You know what? Who was it? Hokum out of New York? She was stopped dead in her tracks. What was it, last year? When they try to gerrymander their areas and their own Supreme Court, the majority of those, I think all of them actually, were put in by Democrats, said, no, wait a minute, you're going way too far now. We're not going to allow this to happen. So to your point, and knowing that there's many, many states that have gerrymandered to the positive for Democrats, we should be doing the same thing. We should do what they do and not let their noise drown us out.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. Again, Joe Messina joining us, a nationally syndicated radio host in California. My favorite part was when ICE showed up at the event and they made an arrest, and it set off not only Newsom, but Karen, we call her Karen Ass, but Karen Bass.
She's totally, that woman is so lost. But no, you know, it's funny because I went and did a contrast and compare last night on the show. I said, look, you go to left-leaning sites, right, and the event was raided by ICE, you know, ICE and Border Patrol people. You go to right-leaning sites, and it just simply said that, you know, ICE was there, and they arrested one person outside of the event. So they didn't raid the event. They were in the they were there outside the event and didn't bother it at all. So, yeah, look at I'm sure if they ran a lot more checks there, they would have been able to arrest a lot more people.
Mm. All right, it's just insane what's happening over there. And I hope that he does this, but if he does, then every other Republican state's going to have to get involved here, and we're going to have to do unto them as they do to us.
As long as they have real Republicans in those states and not guys that ran as Republicans, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's true. Well, yeah, that is a problem. That is a problem. All right, Joe, always good hearing from you, my friend.
Always fun to be with you, Todd. God bless and keep up the good work.
All right, the great Joe Messina, everybody. And if you don't listen to his show in the evening hours, you don't know what you're missing. It's just really a wonderful, terrific show. All right, 901-260-5926. I'm just curious. If, in fact, Newsom goes ahead and does this, what do you think we ought to do? How should the Republicans retaliate? 901-260-5926, open line Friday. We're going to be taking your calls on that in just a matter of moments. And, of course, I mentioned 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Newsmax, of course, going public this year on the New York Stock Exchange, which has been very exciting. One of the reasons why is millions of people, millions of Americans are now joining our news revolution. By the way, have you seen the huge event that we've been hosting in Israel, which has really, I think, separated our network apart from the others? 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for shows they can trust, like the Todd Stern Show. I want you to download our free Newsmax app. You can do that right now. It takes 30 seconds. And also check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. You can do that by going to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com.
What a great app. I wish I'd known about it sooner. I can hear you all the way from California now.
Yes, you can. It's amazing. It's magic. Yeah, Joe, that's Joe from California, just sending us a shout out. So I guess Joe just discovered our app, and we would love for you to download the app and listen to us all across the nation. It's free of charge, and it's really, really, you're going to get not just my show, but we have a lot of other talk radio hosts that utilize my app. So you're going to listen to all of them there on online. So there you go. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Our good buddy Joe from Ellijay, Georgia, is on the line. Joe, how's it going?
Todd, it's going great. Today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average broke an all-time high, and that's great for everybody because there's so many people that have 401ks, and with the stock market going up, and of course, that's a great tribute to Trump because Trump is not only the best leader we've ever had, he has hired great business leaders for his cabinet, and that's reflected with the best stock market in history, and I think that the future has never looked better for America, and I'm hoping tonight that we'll have some good news when he sits down with Putin, but I just have total confidence in Trump, and I think happy days are here now, and I think we're going to really enjoy the next 3 years under Trump, and your radio show. I'll be watching you tonight on Newsmax. I think Newsmax is really coming on strong. I hear more and more people telling me they watch it. So You're right. You're right with the times on Newsmax. And just want to say thank you again for all you do. Your talk show is great, and you're bringing a lot of people over to the great Donald John Trump, and that's good news for taxpayers.
Well, it is, Joe, and, you know, it's interesting because when you look at retail sales, for example, which are going up, and you know, I know a lot of people are disappointed that the prices are not coming down a lot of stuff as quickly, but it takes time, you know, for that to happen. We're just, what, 7-8 months into the presidency, but things are heading in the right direction right now, and, you know, that to me is the big indicator. By the way, Joe, where's Cassie? Hold on. Cassie, turn your microphone on. You know, Joe, you talked to Cassie. The lovely Cassie, call screens for us, so you get to talk to Cassie. Joe, I'm putting Cassie on the spot. Joe, every time you call in, Cassie spells elegy a different way.
It's ELLIJAY.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, Cassie.
I spelled it like Elmo and Jay together.
Hello, Jay.
Well, you're working for a great man. Keep it up. Y'all are doing a fantastic job, and people around the country love the Todd Starnes radio show.
We appreciate that.
Well, thanks, Joe. Is Cassie nice to you when you call in, Joe?
She's extremely nice. And anytime I call in, she's just super. So. She's incredible, aww. Todd. Everybody associated with your program, and I just think we've got great days ahead, and I'm extremely optimistic about the future of the country. And Todd, your show is one reason I'm extremely optimistic.
I don't disagree with that at all, Joe. I endorse that message. Okay, Joe, my good friend, thank you for calling in. You know, Cassie, that was like your performance review. So that's how we do it in talk radio world.
Did I do good?
You did good.
Good. You did good.
Yeah, well done.
Yay.
Well, you know, the reason I ask is because you're from the northern states.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, northerners are a little brusque, you know, so it's hard. And it's off-putting for the southerners. Now, I know that you're, you know, the northerners, you guys, your heart's in the right place. But right. It's like you're right. Very direct people.
Yeah, there's nothing bad about that.
So, I mean, when someone calls in, what's your name, where you're calling from, what do you want to tell Todd? But if you're from the South, it's, hey, how's it going? You know, how's your mom and them doing? You know, it's just, you know, you just kind of, you know, meander along.
Yeah. I like to get to know our listeners when they call in.
Is it true you're going on vacation?
Yes. I'm so excited.
So where are you going? Where do the northerners like Cassie, who lives in Memphis now, where do you guys go to vacation?
We go to the shore. Back in New Jersey.
Like the Jersey Shore?
Not like the Jersey Shore.
Not like the Jersey Shore.
It's more carnival, more Point Pleasant, definitely not, you know.
Like AC?
Like the show.
The Atlantic City Boardwalk,
yeah,
that area?
That area.
I love that area.
Super nice.
All right. Are you bringing me back some saltwater taffy?
Yes.
I'm putting you on. That's the only reason
I'm
going
to have
you on.
And I know your favorite flavor.
It's the cherry,
yeah,
saltwater taffy.
I like the banana.
Is that right?
It's super good.
That's actually not too bad. I've had that before. So, right. But I love the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the redneck Riviera without the southern accents.
Well, there you go.
All right. So by the way, you know who you're going to have to talk to. You got to let Harry Hurley know you're in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. We love Harry.
Right? From WPG. Mm-hmm. And Harry fills in for us. And he actually has a street named after him in Atlantic City.
Is it Hurley?
Hurley Way. Harry Hurley Way.
Wow.
Harry Hurley Way.
When are you going to get a street named after you?
Yeah, you think they're going to do that? They've already torn down all the statues.
Oh,
I'm fairly certain,
gosh,
I'm not getting anything named after me.
Maybe a crosswalk?
Oh, maybe we could
decorate a park bench.
Those crosswalks get people in trouble, Cassie. They get them in trouble. All right, let's go real quick to Salem, Oregon. Ron, listening to us on KYKN. Hey, Ron, what's on your mind?
My brother, I'm just saying, with gruesome new scum, and you got Mayor Dumbass, and you got Mud Dummy of New York, the Democrat idiots. They don't care about it. They think they're gods. They think they're kings. And Republicans, whether it's in my state instead of dividing amongst ourselves, going after people that's trying to bring light to the community, why don't we go ahead and just put and play their games right back at them? The biggest problem I see in Republican parties up and down the West Coast is that we do not use the record that they voted and the results of the actions of voting on the records, whether it's Senate Bill 1510, where they tie law enforcement hands, enable the invaders, give them $30,000 grants. We got to play the games right back at them. If we need to make certain areas more redder, then so be it. It's time to not wussify. It is time to do what God asks you to be, light and salt of the earth. Not go through and try to be Pharisees sitting in chairs appeasing Jezebels and Ahabs.
Ron, that's a sermon in under 30 seconds. So well said, sir. And I do not disagree with the thing you said. By the way, Ron, thanks for that call. I will say this about Salem, Oregon, KYKN. Some of the kindest, sweetest conservatives, Republicans, right there in Salem, Oregon. Good, good people out there on KYKN. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the big show coming up. We'll be right back, everybody.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Shatters, that's right. I love this American ride.
In the office with President Trump on Air Force One, heading in, what's your initial feeling? How are you feeling about what you're going to get out of this?
I think we're going to do very well. Our country is doing very well. We're setting records economically like we never have before, including the stock markets are all at a record high. We're taking in trillions and trillions of dollars with tariffs. We're going for a meeting with President Putin in Alaska, and I think it's going to work out very well. And if it doesn't, I'm going to head back home real fast.
I mean, if it doesn't, you walk.
I would walk, too.
Yeah, that was President Trump on Air Force One doing an interview with Fox's Brett Baer. And the president and Putin getting ready to meet in Anchorage. And we'll see how this plays out. But the president said that Putin's either going to do what he wants Putin to do or he's out of there. And things could go south. Mark Halperin. I don't know where Halperin's coming up with this. And I've got it. We're going to try to get him on the Newsmax TV show this evening. But Mark Halperin is suggesting that Trump is going to have Putin arrested on American soil. Pretty certain that's not going to happen. But anyway, he posited the theory that the whole point of the summit is a ploy by the U.S. to arrest Putin as a war criminal. Putin or Halperin said, I think they're going to arrest him today. I'm not too sure about that. Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us for Hour 3. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have with us Bernadette Wilson, who wants to be the next governor of the state of Alaska, a longtime conservative activist there. Bernadette, hope you're doing well today.
Oh, Todd, it's great to be with you. I'll tell you what, the energy on the ground, you can feel it. It is Everyone is just so excited to have the president here. Of course, the president, you know, he won Alaska overwhelmingly in his reelection. Multiple members of our congressional delegation, our governor, all very supportive of the president. The electorate here so excited for what the president has done and is doing for Alaska in this second term. And I'll tell you what, I am out here watching them get set up and all ready for a big rally. The Trump flags are out, the U.S. flags are out, the Alaska flags are out. And we're really looking forward to an exciting day of hosting our president.
Bernadette, this is crazy. You've got all these old people out there, and they're protesting the president, they're protesting the Russians, and it's pretty much the typical crowd that we've seen in the continental states, where you have these elderly people who clearly have nothing else to do, and they're out there. I mean, how big would you say the protests are?
You know, Todd, here's the thing. I haven't seen any of I know that they're planning on showing up here in about an hour. But here's what I'll add to that. And it's interesting because I've seen even, you know, the mainstream media covering these protests against the president that are going to happen in Alaska. the major component to that conversation that they're not telling Americans is this. The protesters in Alaska protest here. This is not a joke. Every couple weeks, okay? I was down in Southeast Alaska on the gubernatorial campaign talking with voters. And in this little small town of Southeast Alaska, they said, Bernadette, we have a group of 15 protesters roughly. Every single weekend they get together. We see it in Anchorage all the time. They are here every 2 weeks. Even if the president was not here, you had a 9 out of 10 chance that they were going to be out here anyways, okay? They protest everything from municipal local issues to LGBTQIA issues to book ban issues to immigration issues. Half the time, you don't even know what they're protesting. Half the time, their signs are illiterate. They don't even make sense, and they don't even know. With the president coming, the only difference with them is now they're slightly more coordinated on their talking point. They're not protesting because the president's here. They protest because that's all they do all the time. They don't know anything different. What is notable is the conservatives in this state that support our resource development, that support the president, that you don't see out here every 2 weeks, that are now showing up in droves. That's what's unique. The protesters out on the street corner that stand out here in Anchorage every couple weeks. I mean, Todd, I have videos on my cell phone. There's a whole bunch of them. They don't even know what they're protesting, okay? This time it just happened to work out that now they can coordinate with each other a little bit better. But let's just be honest about those protesters, you know?
Oh, no. I hear you. And we sort of see through all of it. And the only nice thing is, you know, they do need to get their exercise, get some fresh air. And, you know, that's a good thing for the elderly. And then they're done by, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon so they can head over to the Bob Evans to get the early bird special.
Well, and you know what? I tell this to people all the time. Thank God that they're just out on the street protesting and not in the halls of government passing and promoting legislation, right?
It's a fair point. By the way, Bernadette, I'm curious. The governor just a little while ago was talking about how important this summit is because, and a lot of people forget that, and they used to make fun of Sarah Palin for saying, I can see Russia outside my, you know, my window. But the reality is it's only a couple of miles between Russia and the United States. So how important is that relationship there in Alaska especially?
Well, it's incredibly important, and not just for Alaska, but for the rest of the country. This strategic location that our military defense has in Alaska, and with the amount of coastline that Alaska has, I mean, the state of Alaska has more coastline than any other state across the country. For us to share that much coastline that is right up next to those borders with Russia, I mean, you can look at, you know, the ships that are coming and passing right out of the United States jurisdiction, right outside of Alaska's jurisdiction. And at any given moment, you've got ships that are passing through from Russia. They're passing through from Japan, wherever they might be headed. So the strategic location of the state is important, not just to the state itself, but especially to the rest of the country. When you look at Alaska's resources, when it comes to minerals and oil and gas, Alaska, as we know, has the ability to power the future for the entire country for years and years and hundreds of years to come. And what is so ironic in the middle of the conversation about Alaska's strategic location and the resources that we provide is in the middle of all of that, Todd, when Alaska was sold to when Alaska was purchased from Russia, you remember that they called the purchase Seward's Folly. Russia saw no value in Alaska and let it go. The United States didn't see really a whole lot of value in Alaska. I mean, we were a territory forever. We had to fight and battle for statehood. And it was well known. Everybody joked, Alaska's purchase was Seward's Folly. And yet here we are today, the most strategic location in the United States when it comes to our military defense, incredibly important when it comes to our resources. And now the president of the United States, Putin, sitting down to talk with each other when, you know, not too long ago, right, back in the 1867, I believe, Alaska was purchased. And so now you have these two world leaders convening to have a very consequential meeting regarding what is going on with Ukraine. And so it has all come full circle, and it's great to see it come full circle. So
truly historic. It's a historic moment. And the idea, and even Hillary Clinton, and this is a shocker, Bernadette, Hillary Clinton herself actually said if Donald Trump is able to negotiate a peace, then she would personally support him getting the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, that's how significant this moment is.
Yeah, that is incredibly significant. And
now, she may have been drinking now when she said that, so you know, let me offer that caveat. It's still pretty historic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, to have both of these world leaders and for the president to call that meeting and to invite Putin to, hey, I'll meet you up in Alaska, let's go. I mean, that alone shows such an incredible, profound amount of leadership that this country has not seen in a long, 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 very long time.
That's true.
And we're just, you know, we're excited. During the Biden administration, you know, the Biden administration locked up Alaska and issued more sanctions against Alaska than they did the country of Iran. So you bring in a president who has talked about Alaska on the national stage, made it a major part of his administration, and then he says, hey, I'll tell you what, Putin, I'll meet you in Alaska, and we're going to have this conversation. It's a big day for the state. It's a big day for the country.
Bernadette Wilson is joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today from live from Anchorage, Alaska. Bernadette is also running for governor. There is a huge Republican rally, and you mentioned that. You referenced that, Bernadette. That's kicking off at 11 o'clock y'all's time. They're at Seward Highway and Northern Lights Boulevard, so a huge pro-Trump rally. Bernadette, I'm just curious. A lot of our listeners may not be familiar with you, so tell us just a little bit about yourself and why you want to be the next governor.
You know, I was born and raised here in Alaska. I've got deep roots. My grandmother was born in the village of Naknek, so I hail of Aleut descent. My great uncle, Governor Wally Hickel, served as governor in Alaska twice. He actually served as Secretary of the Interior under President Nixon as well. So my family has deep roots. I have an entrepreneurial background, of family businesses that have been owned for 40 and 50 years in the state of Alaska. I myself own and run a garbage company, Todd, of all things. I love when I saw the president showing up at rallies in a garbage truck. I was like, hey, we've been doing that for years with our conservative rallies in Alaska, right? Welcome to the party. So I've got a garbage business here. And with those incredible roots, I had a conversation with my oldest son a couple years ago and had to admit to him that if I were 18, I wouldn't stay in Alaska. You know, the Biden administration had locked us up so bad, there was no future in sight. And I told him, I said, I would get out, I would move. And I stopped and thought, you know what, with my deep roots that, you know, my family businesses that have been in construction, they've built the roads, they've built the hotels, the military bases. You know, my uncle helped govern the state. It's time for us to get this state turned around and get someone in Alaska's governor's seat who appreciates our strategic location, our resources, and is ready to go to bat and work hand in hand with the president. We will have 2 years, just 2 years, of a new governor working with President Trump to get America's energy unleashed. And if we're going to talk about American oil, then by God, it better be on Alaskan soil. So,
all right, real quick, Bernadette, we've got about 10 seconds here. Where can people go if they want to get more information about your campaign?
BernadetteForGovernor.com, BernadetteForGovernor.com, and you can find us on social media, Bernadette for Governor, all kinds of good things across all the different platforms.
All right. Well, Bernadette, thank you again. Have a great time at that rally, and you're watching history unfold right before your eyes.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Bernadette Wilson, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Well, there you go. So we'll keep you updated on all the latest developments. Of course, we'll have full coverage tonight starting at 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Before we go to break, I want to share some audio with you. And this is just really shocking. There's a guy who is a pastor in the United Church of Christ. And he is the pastor at Enfield United Church of Christ. His name is Gregory Gray. And I'm just curious to hear, I'm curious to get your reactions. We have a lot of Christians, a lot of people of faith that listen to this radio program. And there is a movement afoot across all denominations. I mean the Catholics, the Southern Baptists especially, and a lot of these other denominations to basically queer the Bible, to embrace the entire LGBT agenda. And that is, it is a full-on assault on the church. And a lot of these younger pastors are embracing this kind of stuff. I want you to listen to what Pastor Gray had to say about Jesus.
How queer was Jesus? He was an observant Jew, but he was 30 years old, no wife, no job, hung out with 12 other dudes. That's pretty queer. Queering the Bible takes Jesus and other outsiders and religiously stigmatized folks in the past and juxtaposes them with contemporary queer folks and Christians, realizing that despite our past cultural differences, sexual and gender differences, that we share similar histories of out-of-placeness or vilified sexualities and gender diversities. Jesus' kingdom practice is queer in the sense it questions identities and blurs distinctions. Luke presents Jesus as leaving the patriarchal household and challenging both cultural hierarchies in his egalitarian meals, transgressing gender roles, and radical inclusion of outsiders.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's some of the queer teaching that's being introduced in denominations all across America, including the Southern Baptist Convention. And I'm curious, what do you say? You're in a church house and you hear the preacher start preaching like that. What do you do? How do you respond? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, there you have it. The United Church of Christ saying Jesus was queer. Let's go to Texas. Ron is on the line. Ron, are you surprised to hear this?
Yes, I was, because several years ago, about 3 years ago, I'm a member of the Lutheran Church in the United States. We were a member of the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but the church got so liberal about 3 years ago that the entire congregation voted to leave the ELCA and join the North American Lutheran Church, which is much, much more conservative. And we've been that way for about 3 years now, and we've never had anybody say anything like what that pastor just did.
I think people would genuinely be surprised at how radicalized so many churches have become and are becoming, and especially my friends in the Southern Baptist, of which I am one. It's really shocking to see that kind of thing being introduced from the pulpit.
It certainly is. The ELCA ordained women pastors, and they also ordained homosexuals. So that's why we had to change.
Wow. All right, Ron, I appreciate your call. I know our friend Paul Shanklin said, Todd, if that happened at my church, I would open my Bible and close my wallet. So I don't blame you one bit, Shanklin. Yeah, I would have been out the door. That's what would have happened to me. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Open line Friday. Waiting for President Trump and Putin to meet. Going to be a busy day, folks. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. Just got this item in from Johnson County that in Kansas. That is Overland Park. Someone tried to burn down the Johnson County Republican Party headquarters. We have a statement from the Republican Party chair. Just send it to me. Extreme liberals can't do anything right, including arson. Their hateful attempt to intimidate Republicans will also fail. This only fuels their desire or fuels our desire to promote President Trump's America First agenda and win the 2026 midterms. The Johnson County Republican Party chair, Sue Huff, says, I'm grateful that no one was hurt in this vicious attack. There's no place for violence in American politics. So the incident under investigation by the police department and the fire department, that's just insane. Phoenix, Arizona, there's a guy by the name of Jeremiah Cota. He is a member of the school board there. He's also a member of a tribe, and I want to make sure I get this. I have the report in my fingers. The Free People of the San Carlos Apache. So he's a tribal member. So Mr. Cota was going to deliver the Lord's Prayer at the school board meeting, and apparently a bunch of godless heathens got triggered. Now, they do something, and I need to share this with you beforehand so you'll understand, you know, what this is about, what they're talking about. So they always do a land acknowledgement statement. And you may say, what is that? Well, land acknowledgements are used to remind all of you people of the Caucasian persuasion that you are living on stolen land. So it's part of the DNA fiber of DEI. And so this guy was going to recite the Lord's Prayer before they deliver the land acknowledgement statement. I mean, every meeting in Arizona, we, the white people of Arizona, acknowledge that we are living on stolen land. I mean, something like that. I don't know. I'm trying to speak how a white person in Arizona would speak, and it's not me anyway. Oh, well, let's listen to what happened.
Next item on the agenda is 1D land acknowledgement statement. Please remain seated as Board Member Cota reads the PXU land acknowledgement statement.
As a member of the San Carlos Apache tribe, it's my honor to lead today's acknowledgement. If you know it, join me acknowledging the creator, Begewigdan Shita. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, board member. We can't have a religious prayer before you start to read the land acknowledgement.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Out of order. I will read the land acknowledgement.
I will appeal the decision of the chair.
What do I do?
The president runs the meeting and is able to do what she's doing at this
Roberts
point in
Rules
time.
Of Order state, point of order, Roberts Rules of Order states we are allowed to appeal the decision of the chair and it should be brought up to a vote.
We do not have Roberts Rules as an absolute guide. It is just to be a slight guidance so the board president can make that decision.
Thank you. Moving on to the land acknowledgement.
Wow, that was a little harsh. So here's what gets me about this, and it's kind of ironic because if you pray the Lord's Prayer, there's a line in there, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it seems to me like the woke land acknowledgement crowd would actually have no problem with that part of the Lord's Prayer because it's all about all you mean white folks who are trespassing on Native Indian land or American. Do a Native American? Am I going to have to like read a statement now? Is it Indian? No, it's Injuns. You can't say Injuns anymore. But can you say Indians? All right, can we get can we call the attorney and find out? I don't know if I have to read a clarification again. So there you have it. Sorry, Mr. Cota, but yeah, the Lord's Prayer triggering folks there in Arizona. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Shane in Clarksville, Georgia. Hi, Shane, what's on your mind?
I have been
listening to other talk radio shows, conservative, while I'm impatiently waiting on you to come on at noon every day. You know how all these crowds don't look organic? These protesters, you've got all these groups of white people that look like boomers on their straw hats, da-da-da-da-da. There's no black people there. There's no Spanish people there. There is a place called, a website called Crowds on Demand that people with deep pockets, like I'm just saying George Soros, can hire, call this company and hire these crowds to go out and protest about whatever they want to protest about. People get paid a couple of $100 a day, a couple, $200-$300 a day, and they just go out there and protest.
Now, you're not blowing smoke here, Shane, because I'm actually on the website now. It's crowdsondemand.com, and you can actually hire a protest mob for whatever you're protesting.
Right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And it's ridiculous. But the talk show host that I heard yesterday, he asked, you know, roughly what it would be to have 100 people come out. And the guy said, you know, there was a lot of ins and outs, grammar, so forth and so on. But he said it would be in the five figures.
Really? Wow. So that's all. Yeah, that's a lot of cash. And that would explain why, you know, all of them show up with the signs that are professionally made. That may be an add-on, you know, to the bill, but that would explain that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got all these 70, 80-year-old people sitting around with nothing to do, trying to live off their Social Security, need a little extra money. They all get together and do a little protest to make a couple $200-$300 a day. Sound like good money to me.
Well, it's good money if you can find it. Yeah. All right, Shane, sorry you had to listen to those other guys, but we're glad you were able to get through today.
Well, he's got kind of a mindset like you have. So, you know, I listen to my local station. I listen to him until you come over at 12, and I can't stand it when you take a vacation.
Well, well, thank you. Thank you, Shane. That means a lot. I appreciate it. And thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to John in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
Todd, this is a serious call. I really need your help on something. I really, truly
I'll do my best.
Okay. First of all, you have the ear of Pete Hegseth. You already know that he's returning the unification monument back to Arlington where it belongs. Here's the problem. I don't know if you're aware of this, and I don't know if Pete Hegseth is worried about heard of this. All battle streamers from the South referring anything to the Civil War were to be returned to the Department of the Army under the liberal leadership of Joe Biden and Lloyd Austin. Okay, those battle streamers represented the pride of these different National Guard units down South. I wrote to Pete Hegseth, and it never got to him. It went to some person at Fort Knox, Kentucky, saying we're not allowed to have them back. They don't belong to the states. They belong to the Department of the Army. No, they don't. Those battle streamers, those Civil War battle streamers, they're all updated, belong to the National Guard units. I would like you to possibly get Pete Hegseth on the air, or you can talk to him about it, because these battle streamers are a point of pride for these Southern units in the different states, including your state of Tennessee, here in Kentucky, and everything else. And it really made me mad that they returned them, but some of them accidentally forgot to send them back, like Alabama. But these battle streamers rightfully belong to these Southern National Guard units. And I do not know if Pete Hegseth knows about this. You're his friend, and I've done everything I'm supposed to do, did the chain of command, did everything else, but they refused to respond to this request. And I really, really need your help, Todd. I really do. Look what they did with Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue and his grave. Now, thankfully, it's in the Columbia, Tennessee, Sons of Confederate Veterans National Museum. But this thing, it needs to be taken care of, Todd. If they don't want to give him back to the Guard unit, give him to us, Sons of Confederate Veterans.
Yeah.
Please, Todd.
All right. Yep. No. We'll look into it, John. And again, those battle streamers are decorations that are attached to military flags to commemorate events like battles and theaters of war and things of that nature. So we'll check into it and see what we can find out. So we'll do that for you, Pastor. All right. Thank you for calling in 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So last night on our Newsmax show, we interviewed a lawyer from First Liberty Institute, and they're representing a teenage girl in upstate New York. This girl is a high school senior, and they allow the seniors at this particular high school to decorate their parking spaces. So you can, you know, it's artwork and all that kind of stuff. And so this young girl happened to be a Christian, and she wanted to decorate her parking spot with a religious message, God is love, and also wanted to decorate with a cross. Well, the school said, you can't do that. Those images and that phrase is against the law. Take a listen. Joining you now is Sabrina's attorney, Keisha Tony Russell from First Liberty Institute. Keisha, good to have you back with us this evening. So what's going on here? Why did the school have such a problem with these designs?
Well, the school claims that all the messages are government speech. They said she can't say God. She can't provide the biblical reference for the scripture verses that she wanted to put on and on the parking space. And unfortunately, they've made her redo her design three times because of those religious references. The cross in the final design is actually disguised by the word light. It's the T in light. And that's the only way she could get the cross in there. And they said, oh, that's fine because it's disguised, if you'll believe that one. And she's also able to say he, but she can't say God, which is really surprising and really outrageous. You know, we tried to describe to the school district the law, constitution, and tell them that, look, students don't lose their constitutional rights just because they're going to your school. You still have to respect their freedom of speech. You still have to respect their free exercise rights. And right now what the school is doing is really oppressing Ms. Steffens, because she chooses to express her faith on the parking spot rather than say, celebrate a sports team or something like that. And the government really isn't allowed to discriminate against Sabrina's religious message when they allow a lot of other secular messages.
Well, I was reading some documentation about this particular incident. Is it true that the school told her that if they let her use the cross, they would have to let another student use some sort of a satanic symbol?
Yes, they did say that. And my understanding is they've made the same comments to some in the media. So I don't understand that concept. I will tell you this. We have heard that argument before, when we've represented some students who wanted to start Bible clubs in their high schools, which they're 100% permitted to do under the Equal Access Act and under the First Amendment. And we've had a high school say, no, you can't do that, because if we let you have a Christian club or a Bible club, we have to allow a Satanist club, or we have to allow a Muslim club, or something that maybe the school doesn't want. But religious freedom is for everybody, and the school is not permitted to deny their students constitutional rights because they're afraid of some sort of, you know, slippery slope argument about what else could be admitted just because of the students.
So let's talk about moving forward. You guys have already sent a letter to the district. Have we heard anything back? And what happens if they don't let her put out her original design?
So, yes, we sent the letter on Tuesday. We heard back from them, I believe it was Wednesday, and they asked for more time to investigate and consider what we were saying. I don't know what they need to investigate, because all the emails I'm sure they have and can read very quickly. And all you really need to do is go read the Supreme Court cases that we cited, included the Kennedy versus Bremerton case that says that school districts cannot permit private religious or prohibit private religious expression just because students can see it, and they can't use some sort of misguided argument about the Establishment Clause to deny people their constitutional rights. And they, you know, they want more time. I personally think a week is enough time. And, you know, I would like to see this resolved before Sabrina goes back to school. If they say no, or if they take too long to resolve the situation, then we will file a suit in federal court. And we hope to vindicate Sabrina's rights that way if our demand letter doesn't work.
All right, there you go. What would you do, ladies and gentlemen? And what would you do if that was your child? And did they do the right thing? I mean, if the school doesn't reverse this policy, First Liberty Institute says they've got a lawsuit here. They've got a case against the school district for violating this girl's rights. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Love to hear your thoughts on that. You know, we were talking to the mayor of Knox County earlier in the show. And while I was at the Gun Owners of America convention, I had a chance to meet one of the co-founders of Old Glory Bank and just a super great guy. And it's just so impressive that the tens of thousands of people that are now members at Old Glory Bank, customers of Old Glory Bank. And Old Glory Bank isn't just any sort of bank. It was actually birthed out of the debanking movement. So many conservatives, so many Christians were getting canceled by their bank. Old Glory Bank stepped up and said, we got to do something about this. And so they created a bank that stands on faith, family, and freedom. And they do not cave into the cancel culture mob or any political agendas. And I love that. And we appreciate their partnership and their friendship. I wanted to recommend you go and check them out. OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. That's OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. And you'll find all the information there. It is a great, great bank, FDIC insured. And you're going to want to trust that this bank has your back. And again, they won't cave to the cancel culture. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. And just a reminder, if you haven't already done so, head over to ToddStearns.com right now and click on the app. You'll be able to download our free app and listen to 24 hours of conservative talk radio from all across America. But you have to download the app, and again, it will not cost you any money at all. We also have a couple of other great free resources to all of our new listeners out there. We have a daily podcast, which again is free of charge. You can download that at the website, as well as our newsletter that comes out every morning, and we provide you original conservative news and commentary over at our website, ToddStearns.com. So go check those things out. And I know that we ask a lot of you, but that's why we wanted to give back with some of these free items that we have. And we certainly appreciate that. All right, folks, been a great, great week. We certainly appreciate you making us your choice, noon to 3 Eastern. We do not take that for granted. And it's an honor to be able to sit here and chat with you every single day. All right, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, I will see you on Newsmax. Get out there. Have a great one, everybody. Welcome to all of the folks in Memphis for Elvis Week. Folks, have a great Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.